time to talk about owning racehorses. And imagine if you're an owner and you had a runner today at Morfordville. It'll be a buzz there today. There'll be so much excitement and possibility of winning a major race there and being on the world stage in Adelaide today. We don't get that opportunity very often. Luke Coomey is joining us now from the South Australian Racehorse Owners Association. As I mentioned, I was at the airport the other day to pick up a relative, and in the distance I saw Luke come in. Good morning, Luke.
Good day, Ray. How are you going?
Oh, I'm well. Where were you off to? Where did you go on leave or holiday?
We went to London for about 10 days.
So, yes.
We were supposed to be there longer, but we came back early. So, it was very good. It does remind you that it's pretty hard to beat Australia.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world. So, but look, good to get away and see different things and so forth. But yeah, it was,
good to be home.
It reminds you that we live in probably the best country in the world.
Well, I'm sure of that, and nearly everyone reports that when they come back, regardless of where they go. So you timed it to perfection, really. You're back for one of our biggest race days in Adelaide today.
Yes, it was very good. I had thought that I'd missed the whole carnival, it's great to be back, and a bit sad from my trainer's point of view with Vidora being out.
Yes.
But I suppose. We get philosophical about these things, and that's racing, isn't it?
It can happen. It happens often. Mm. And when it does, of course, on the eve of a major race, it's a bit of disappointment. But just a reminder that it can happen any time to any horse, and despite the very best attempts of the people who look after them, you can only protect them so much.
Yes, that's right.
So is she given a knock, do you think, or a strain?
I haven't caught up with Lloyd as yet, so I don't really have any information.
Okay. Now, when we last spoke with you, you had one that you were hoping would make the grade for the carnival.
Yes, a three-year-old. He actually went to race in Melbourne on the eve that I left Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed out going to see him run at Cranbourne, which is very rare for me. But I couldn't quite juggle the times and get back in time to fly out. So, look, he didn't perform overly well. The jockey basically said, forget everyone around. It was under lights. He was wide. He missed the start. He went via the cape. So he said, just forget it and, give him another one. And so he'll probably race next Wednesday at Balaclava.
Yeah. And now today, and this is an issue that you've raised a few times, in the treatment of owners, because I can imagine some of these horses today racing for $1 million and some racing for $500,000, etc. There's going to be a lot of owners all come to Adelaide, and they're all going to want tickets, and they all want to be in the mounting yard. Is it all sorted for today?
Look, it's pretty good these days. With the big days, there are a certain number of tickets that are allocated per horse, and when they come, especially these days with big syndicates, it does get overcrowded. So, and that happens everywhere in Australia now. They allocate, I think, usually, depending on the size of the mounting enclosure, 20 tickets per horse. And if you have more owners than that, or there are more people who want to get in that, then the ownership group has to work out who's going to miss out.
Did you get, while you're overseas, did you have a chance to either read about racing over there or witness anything?
Yes, well, it's their jumping season at the moment,
mm-hmm.
And they were at Sandown. So I couldn't get out to Sandown to see it on the day that it was on, or the 2 days it was on. But I watched it on television, bits of it. And look, it's terrific. Of course, their jumping side of racing is very big.
It's huge.
They jump in the winter, and they sort of then they change. So it's just, it was the last meeting, I think, last jumping meeting, I think, for the season. And then they go flat racing during the summer. So yes, but big fields and long races.
Big jumps too. Huge jumps.
Yeah. And surprisingly, few falls.
Yes, so that's right. Yeah.
They are seasoned jumpers, and they go around at a sort of almost a hand canter.
Yes.
Most of the way until they get to the last bit. But look, it's a great spectacle. It's great to watch. And as long as, and I know myself, as long as I don't own one in the race, I love watching.
I was talking to someone who went to a point-to-point in Ireland as well. 800 people turned out at the point-to-point, so
yes.
Pretty popular. Now, of course, we had Warrnambool this week too, which is another great promotion of racing in Australia.
Yes, it's... look, Warrnambool's got... Look, it's a bit like the... let's say our Easter carnival at Oakbank. It's just a great day to be out at a country track, and there's a nice atmosphere there, and there's a bit of a picnic type of feeling about it, and it's pretty relaxed. I've been there a couple of times, and it's a great day. So yeah, Warrnambool is and it's different, and the course announcer there, I don't know if he's still the same one, but he's colourful, let's say.
Yeah.
So
Rick McIntosh, yes.
Yeah, it's just it's a very nice day. It's just, you can understand why people love going to it.
All right. Anything else you want to raise this morning?
Well, one thing that happened just before I left, I was contacted by an owner who, there was a bit of a dispute between owners.
Yes.
It's a fairly long story, but a couple of people, owners who had been together for many years. What complicated also was one of the owners was a trainer who did the training of the horse, and there was a bit of a split up, and where there were suggestions of the horse not being allowed to run and all that sort of thing. But and I was contacted to try and help out with what the particular owner who was the managing and major owner of the horse could do, and it was a very, very satisfactory outcome because the co-owners agreement came into force.
Good.
Now, in the past, one of these things would have just developed into angst and acrimony,
yeah,
and
never ending,
and ended up in court or somewhere like that, and two people who had been friends for a long time being enemies.
Yes.
From there on. But thankfully, with the co-owners agreement, it sort of prescribed the path that had to be taken to dissolve the partnership and how values would be determined, which at the end of the day didn't have to be adhered to, but they didn't have to accept the values, but at least it gave a pathway.
Gave you guidelines.
It cleared away a lot of the he said, I said type arrangement that usually clouds these issues and takes over, even though they're irrelevant in a great extent. There were, the usual verbal agreements and so forth. But with the co-owners agreement, there is a process that has to be followed by the managing owner, and that process, once we were able to cut through all the peripheral stuff and get to the nitty-gritty of it, that process was followed. The matter was resolved. The stewards didn't have to sort of ban the horse until it was resolved. The horse got to race when it was due, and I believe that it's all been completed. So it was great to see that, and as I said, now we're all bound by the co-owners agreement through the rules of racing, and I think that it was pleasing to us from two points of view. One, we were able to possibly save the relationship between a long-standing group, and also it showed that the efforts Sarara and the National Owners Association put into this agreement and the standard training agreement has borne fruit, in as much as now there is no need for people to have their own contracts and so forth. And whatever verbally occurs ends up being brought under the umbrella of the co-owners agreement, and people have some certainty as how they can proceed. So
now, your members, can they, through you, Soroa, can they get a copy of that agreement when they enter into an arrangement with the horse and set it into place?
Yes, they can go to it's on our website at soroa.com.au. Also, it's on the Racing Australia website. And as we keep saying to our members, and we say that to all owners, we don't believe there's any need for racehorse owners to enter into any other trainer agreements or co-owner agreements other than what's in the Racing Australian Standard Training Agreement. And the co-owners agreement, certainly there may be some slight additions that you could put in as to how you came about to acquire the horse and what happens when it retires and things like that. But the general rules are pretty fair, and we've also been talking to Racing Australia about some variations they're making to it. Variations, I would say, that we have put forward through, as I said, the national body. And the good thing about it is it stops that issue where, you know, a minority owner gets bullied by the majority.
Yes.
Or, in reverse, the minority owner holds the majority to ransom.
All right, well, that's a good lesson to learn. You can find out more of that through the South Australian Racehorse Owners Association. Luke, welcome back, and have a great day at the track today.